All right. How's it going? Man, tough to follow that song, huh? That was so good. My name is Mike. I'm a pastor here, and I'm excited to get to talk to you again. I talked to you last week about Sabbath. We're wrapping up our series on Sabbath. I was given 1 week, and my message got a little lengthy, so we turned it into two. So if you came back and you're like, oh man, just kidding. But I am thankful for the opportunity to get to speak. Sabbath has been a big part of me and my family's life really recently. It's not something that I grew up with or practicing or having. So it's kind of a newer thing to me. And I guess by the reaction of a lot of you guys over these past 5 or 6 weeks, that Sabbath is something newer to you. And it kind of in your brain, it was like, yeah, we knew it was one of the Ten Commandments. We kind of ignored it. We thought it meant just taking long naps, or just, you know, ignoring our family and just sitting in front of the TV for 6 hours, and that was Sabbath. It's tricky to kind of look into it a little bit more, and that's what we've been doing. You know, we're really just so committed here at this church to following Jesus and to being apprentices of Jesus, to really try to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and live life the way that Jesus lived it. And Sabbath is definitely a practice that Jesus had. We know this. We talked about this last week. It's miraculous, and it's convicting, I think, to talk about Sabbath, because we know Jesus started his ministry at 30 and died at 33. So that means everything you know that Jesus did happened in 3 years, and we know he practiced Sabbath. So that means about a seventh of his time was spent just being with his Father, in communion with God, and resting. So it's tricky, and it's hard. In these last 4 or 5 weeks, we've looked at kind of ways that we can Sabbath. In our first 4 weeks, the big ones are kind of this idea of us just detaching, right? Just detaching from the world, just to stop, rest, delight, and worship our Creator. That's what we're trying to do. Last week, we dove into kind of some ways to do that. Or just a quick reminder for you guys of what Sabbath kind of is, right? It's like this day we just had, right? To stop, rest, delight in, and worship our Creator, because we're trying to find that total communion with God. That's where after that day, it's like a cheat day, right? Because you're busy, your life is busy. Like, you've got so much stuff going on. We're going to dive into the practicalities of how could I possibly practice Sabbath when I have the life that I have. We're going to talk about that today. So it's so hard, but this is like a day where you can say, everything else can stay everything else. Today, it's just me and my family and God, and that's it. And it's a really, really cool and amazing thing when we can really just pull away from the things that pull us away from God. Psalm 37 tells us to take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the heart's desires, right? So draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. You probably know it that way. We talk about that a lot. That is what this day is all about. And we do it to find communion. Sabbath is not like this legalistic thing. We're going to dive into this a little bit more here towards the end. But this is not the end. The end goal is not Sabbath. The end goal is to be with our Creator in communion through his Son who he sent for us. That's what the end goal is. Sabbath is simply a means to get to that end. So when we talk about Sabbath, it's easy to say, well, this feels legalistic. I mean, that is not what we're saying. This is like I said, it's a cheat day. It's a cheat code. It's a way for you to get closer to God on that day and to be with your family and to detach from the world and to live our life the way that we are meant to live it, which is to work, but also to rest. Our Creator rested. We need rest. So that is what Sabbath is. So we talked about those four ways that we can really just stop and rest and delight and worship God. And then last week, for kind of part one of this message, and if you didn't hear it, go back, listen. It might help a little more today, but you'll be fine if you didn't. But we talked about how can we do these four things. We gave you a few tips, right? To go along with a mission statement of this church, which is to find the Father, experience the kingdom, and to look more like Jesus every day. But for the purpose of Sabbath, we're saying just that day. How do we find the Father, right? How do we look for the gifts? How do we find God in the world around us when usually we're so busy we forget to look, right? We're just constantly moving that we forget to look to see where he is. And we know that James tells us, right, that whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, right? So everything good that we've got is a gift. Sabbath is a day for us to find the Father in those gifts, to simply pull back and just pay attention and say, God, where are you? Show me where you are. I gave illustrations last week, emotionally. I cried like 9 times last week, because if you want to see me cry, watch last week's message. Of God just putting my girls in front of me of like, this is the gift, don't forget this gift, right? So we talked about that a lot last week. I won't expand because I'm not crying again today, no matter what, okay? That was it. We also talked about experiencing the kingdom, right? This idea that we see in Luke, Jesus talking about, you're not going to be able to say, here's the kingdom, or it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you. And we talked about how the kingdom of God is amongst us. We have it here with us. It's not just, let's say, Jesus, you're our Lord. Let's wait in this miserable world until we're dead, and then we'll be with him in heaven. We don't believe that. We believe the kingdom of God is here now amongst us. That's what Jesus tells us. We pray for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Sabbath is a day for us to experience the kingdom, to create space for you to be able to experience the kingdom. And we talked about looking more like Jesus, kind of how if we can do this, if we can find God in these things, and we can start to experience the kingdom, how kind of naturally those, as believers, those fruits of the Spirit that are inside of us just naturally start coming out of us when we do this, and we start to look like Jesus, which is what we're trying to do. We want other people to see Jesus through us. That's what we're after. We want your kids. You want your kids to see Jesus through you when they look at you. So when we say look more like Jesus, that's what we're after, right? Not to check a box or to get in good with God, but so that others can see his light and those gifts and those fruit shining through you. So it's kind of that was last week, right? And so again, I would encourage you to go back. You can kind of like scripturally see where all those came from. I don't want to talk to you guys for an hour today about stuff, but last week, if we want to say that was kind of spiritual practicality, today we're going to look at practical practicality, okay? So today what I want to talk to you about, and this is based off of feedback and experience of my own, specifically today if you have a very, very, very busy life, and if you have kids, I want to talk to you about that, because Sabbath is such an easy, like, if we believe that there's evil, there's Satan, right? Like, we've got these spiritual forces working against us to try to pull us away from God. That's the goal, is to get us further from God. So if we're saying, well, we've got this day, we're considering doing this, if I'm Satan, I would say, you can't do this. How could you possibly do this? Like, especially to parents, like, there's no way. Your life is a train wreck. It is nonstop. Like, it is just busy, busy, busy all the time. You have a tournament every weekend. How could you possibly practice Sabbath? Like, when would that happen? So we're going to try to eliminate some excuses today, right? I'm going to try to just help you with just some practical stuff. Because what we also don't want to do, and I admitted to this last week, and I'll dive into this a bit more today, that 24-hour Sabbath, to me, as someone who has started practicing Sabbath, is my goal. And one day, I'll get to 24 hours. That day, not today. We're not there. My family is not there yet, but we're working towards it. And I hope that I can show you some tips today. I really, this is for everyone, but especially my parents here in this room, to give you just some practical guidelines that we follow. I'll show you actually what our Sabbath looks like to help you, because what I don't want you to do is get done with service today and say, great, yes, I absolutely want to find the Father, experience the kingdom, and look more like Jesus through Sabbath. I want to stop, I want to rest, I want to delight, and I want to worship my Creator. But how do we even go about starting that? So it's kind of just a 101 for if, like, we're going to map out a Sabbath, what are we going to do? Does that make sense? So that's what I'm doing. And again, I'm going to ask for no judgment back at me. I'm being transparent and vulnerable with you today. You might say that is ridiculous. You're way off. That's fine if you say that. That's okay, right? Like, I'm fine with it. I'm just trying to help someone that needs help, because it's been very transformational in my family to add this element of Sabbath for me. To be able to say, I've got something all week, no matter what happens, that I get to look forward to at the end of the week, of this time where I get to rest and not stress about things and just be with Jesus through my family. And then when you get a lot better at it, you start to say, this is the great way. I can finally get there. End of my week. And also, you know what you get to say? This also gets to start my next week, right? And you start your next week with Jesus. I'm telling you, it's a hack. It's a life hack. for believers who just go, 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 go. When are we going to stop? We got an hour for church. That's it, right? We got an hour for church. That's it. We're probably going to leave before they even get through with announcements because we're so busy. Like we're that busy that we can't even stay for the whole thing. And that's how a lot of us live our life. And that's just the nature of the world. This isn't meant to be convicting, though if the Spirit should convict you to stay through the whole service, let it be that way, okay? So no judgment on me. I'm going to be transparent with you of what we do and kind of how we do it. This isn't fancy. You're not going to be like, wow, that was so profound, Mike. I am not a profound person. So that is not going to be what happens today. Quickly, just a little recap of who I am. I forgot again, 43 years old. 43. I'm 44 tomorrow. Woo! I did it. I'm in my prime. All right. 43. I am married to my wife, Jen, for 20 years in December. Woo! Did it again. I know. We're rocking today. We have three kids. I have a 17-year-old who's fixing to be 18 next month. I have an 11-year-old in sixth grade, so my 17-year-old's a senior. I have a sixth grade 11-year-old, and I have a six-year-old, who's sitting right there taking notes. Oh, wait, you're coloring? It's fine. Taking notes. It's coloring, whatever. She's in first grade. So we are busy. We have lots of things. I have a mustache. This is a very polarizing thing I've noticed. People come up to me and they say, does your wife like that you have a mustache? That's how they say it. Does your wife like that you have a mustache? And they wrinkle their nose like that. And I say, as a matter of fact, she allows it. That's pretty much how it goes. That's about as far as it goes with that. We are very busy with life stuff. We have lots and lots of life stuff happening in our life. We have choir. We have flag football. We have soccer. We just finished football and started basketball. We had a basketball tournament this weekend. My daughter plays water polo. Like, we have lots and lots and lots of things going on all the time. I work a full-time job here. It's not just Sundays. I know it surprises some of you guys. It's actually a full-time job that goes on here, about 40 or 50 hours a week. My wife works 4 days a week. I run. I'm a runner. I run a lot. So we have lots of things going on with our life. And we started practicing Sabbath in 2025. So I'm just giving you some context here when I give you some advice on how to practice Sabbath if your life looks kind of like how mine looks, which is a lot of things all of the time. And I can't just rely on me saying, like, I'm going to naturally find time to be with Jesus. I'm just going to naturally block out time. Maybe some of you are spiritually at that place. I am not there. I have to have something to keep me in line with where I need to be, because I am constantly, and I think you probably are too, just right here with the temptations of this world to stay busy, your phone, right? Like all of the things. So I need Sabbath. I need this day to look forward to. I need some guidelines. So that's what I'm gonna shoot you with here today. Some tips from Pastor Mike on how to stop, rest, delight, and worship our Creator who made us, who loves us. And someday we'll be back with him in total harmony. And in the meantime, we're doing our best to find that communion with him. And Sabbath is a way that we do it. So here's a couple tips. Family hacks. This is not fancy. Again, understand this is not fancy. And you agreed not to judge me. But this is basically how we make it work. This is our saying in our house all the time. You ready for it? No want, no worry, no work, no whining. Those are the rules. Think about those really honestly, though, right? Like, think about those things. Think about how, let's say you're going to practice Sabbath this afternoon. Think about how that normally goes. Now, think about if we eliminate wanting things, right? Like, what if we say we're not allowed to ask for things or want things? We don't want to do things. We don't want to ask for things. We don't want to start talking about Christmas presents. We don't want anything. We don't want the weather to be hotter or colder. We don't want anything that day. We really try. If we catch each other in a want, it's like, oh, you're wanting. It's like a little joke, right? Like, no want, no worry. Oh my gosh, can you imagine this world? No worry. Like, really giving yourself permission. I'm not saying we're eliminating anxiety and depression today. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you have permission for this day to not worry. It's gonna be there when you're done with Sabbath, no matter what. That's the great thing about worry. You never have to look too far to find it, right? You know where it's at. You never lose it, right? So it's gonna be there. I promise if you give it a little break for a little amount of time, when you're done with Sabbath, immediately you'll remember what you were worried about. But for the sake of Sabbath, we say, don't worry. No work. Stop working. I love how hard this church works. I take so much pride in how hard I work. I love my kids learning to work hard through the sports that they play. I love it. It builds character. I grind it out, man. First guy there, last guy to leave, right? Absolutely 100% love how hard this church works. Sometimes, though, work takes over and we forget what we're even doing. And it's just work all of the time. And we convince ourselves that it needs to be work all of the time, no matter what. And we've got a million excuses of why it needs to be work all of the time. So what I'm saying is on this day, give yourself some permission to not work. Do not work on this day. If work means doing stuff in your yard, don't do stuff in your yard. Don't work this day. No whining. This one is an Andrews family specialty, right? I have two little girls, right? No whining. Think about that, parents in your house. Like, if we really try to make this a thing, we're not whining about stuff. We're not complaining today. We're just not complaining today. We're not going to do it. And so a way to kind of help us get these things, again, this is not perfect. Like, please know transparently, this is like, we're like 50-50 on how this goes, but this is what we stick to. This helps us kind of stay in line. Like, if we're doing one of those four things, let's get back aligned. Let's get back aligned with what we're trying to do this day. For us, it's to pick a realistic amount of time. 24 hours is not happening in my house right now. It's just not. We can't do it. This is too much. I'm going to get to your kids and like the expectations of your children realistically, what they should be in a second. But for us, pick a realistic amount of time, right? So again, one day we'll do 24. Today we're not there. We do like 4 to 5 hours right now at a time, and we're growing up. That's what we're trying to do at a pace. Sometimes it goes more, sometimes it goes less. I'll tell you how it went about 7 minutes a couple weeks ago when Dad freaked out on his family because we couldn't pay attention to anything we were trying to do, but I'll get to that, right? We're going to get there. The next thing, don't squeeze God into what you were already going to do. Like, that's not Sabbath. Like, to be like, oh, we're going to this game. Well, we'll just say this is part of our Sabbath. God, we love you. Okay, now let's do our normal stuff. Like, don't squeeze God into stuff. You can do lots of things, lots of different things, and we'll get to that too on what makes this day holy, that we're trying to keep this day holy. How do we do that? But don't just try to squeeze God into what you normally do. That's kind of how we typically live, if we're being honest. But for this day, we're not. This day, we're really paying attention to that, right? This is a super helpful tip for our house. If you're married, chances are one of you does not like if your house is messy, right? That's probably the case. So a really good tip, and this sounds silly, but it is huge for us. If our house is like messy, I don't like it. And it freaks me out. I don't like dishes. I don't like all that stuff. Like, it drives me crazy. So if that happens, I'm going to worry, and I'm going to whine, and I'm going to want to get that stuff done, and I'm going to work to make it happen. So for us, keeping a house clean is very, very important for that day. The other days, it is what it is. Life goes on. We do the best we can. But for us, keeping things nice to start that day off, where we start Sabbath with a clean house, is so very, very, very helpful. And this sounds, I know, silly, but I'm telling you, it's a really, really big deal, especially if someone in your house, that is going to keep them from what we're trying to do that day. If that's going to keep them from stopping and resting and delighting or worshiping God, then let's clean the house. Okay? Next thing is this, for us, you're not gonna like this one at all. No technology on Sabbath for this time. I know, I can't believe it, how dare he. I'm a slave to my phone. You're a slave to your phone. That's just the way that it is. I don't wanna do that on that day. I can't. My computer is a problem. Our television watching is kind of a problem. There are days with Sabbath where we'll end the day with like a family movie, but typically what we say is those things are just off. They just are. Like, they're just off. We don't do any technology on that day for those few hours. It's pretty amazing, and I know you're already like, well, you don't understand my job. If somebody calls me, like, I have to answer the phone. I can't tell you what to do. I'm telling you what works for us. There are also measures on your phone, probably, that you could say, these are the few people that might call me that I have to talk to them and do a little YouTubing on how to make it to where only their calls come through to you, and the rest you can block and don't talk to them. But it's really fascinating and amazing what happens to yourself when you detach from your phone for a few hours. You kind of naturally like feel lighter, and you're not stressed, and you're not worried, and you're not, you know, wondering what's going on or what you missed. It's really cool. It's an amazing thing. And so for us, we go no technology. The next one is this. Don't do your Sabbath with other people entirely. Don't do that. people will start to annoy you. Like, if you hang out with my kids, I have the cutest six-year-old in the history of the world. If you hang out with her for an entire day when you're trying to just stop, relax, you know, rest, delight, and worship God, you're going to get bugged with her. So I love the idea of community on Sabbath, but I would stick to, like, a meal. And I would really just stick to, like, your close tribe on Sabbath is what I would do for that. Otherwise, you're going to get bugged, and it's going to start to bother you. And we don't want that. That's not what this day is about. I love community. I love hanging out with other families. I love other people. I love you. I don't want to hang out with you on Sabbath. Okay? That sounded mean. I'm not meant to be mean. I'm just trying to be real with you on realistic stuff of how we can make this work, right? Bonus points here if you skip a sports game. All right? All right. So won't go too far with this, but if you can skip a game and say, we're just prioritizing things right now, and sometimes it's okay to skip church to go to a game. And sometimes it's okay to skip a game to do something with Jesus, okay? I won't say much more about that. If that's convicting to you, it's convicting to you. It's really impactful on your family for them to see what a priority you're making of this day or what a priority you're making with communion with God. Not to say that going to a sporting event can't be a moment with God. I'm just saying it's kind of neat for your kid to freak out and say, what are you talking about? How could we possibly miss one of my 75 games this year? How dare you, right? So it's really, really, really neat to say, like, look, we're just prioritizing things. You don't understand this right now, and you won't understand this right now, but we're convicted that we want to practice this day, and this is the only time we can do it, so we're going to have to miss it today, right? Down the line, that will stick in there. That is going to stick in there. I promise. I'm not going to go too long on that. That's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother day. Okay? We like to stay close to home. When we venture out with our family, like we tried to do the Operation Christmas Child boxes at Walmart last week. That didn't go very good. Like we just wanted stuff. We were whining. There was nowhere to park. It was like this went horribly. Like we lost what we were trying to do like 10 seconds after we left our house. So unless we're going to like walk some trails or something like that, we kind of just stay close to home. We kind of just hang out and just kind of chill around our little bubble there. And what we try to do in all of this is we try to pay attention, right, for God in all of the moments, right? Like, that's the goal. We're just trying to pay attention and look for God in all of these moments. That's what we're trying to do, to stop, to rest, to delight in worship, and really focus on finding the Father and experiencing the kingdom and looking more like Jesus. To really find that communion, that's what we're after. Those are some helpful rules for you if you want them. If you don't want them, don't take them. I went fast, so I didn't waste much of your time with that. But that's what I would say about kind of how we do it. And to know that when we plan stuff out, and I'm going to show you what our day actually looks like, sometimes in the things that you're doing, you find what you're looking for with this communion with God. And sometimes by doing the things that you're doing, you're allowing yourself to be able to experience those things. So what I mean by that, let's talk about this here, right? So like an actual day for us. Again, no judgment is allowed on this, right? And I'll say this too, this has been asked to me. My son's almost 18 years old. I don't make my son do Sabbath with us. My son is invited to do Sabbath with us. He has done Sabbath with us. I am aware this kid's going to be gone pretty soon. He's never heard of this idea until 5 weeks ago, or really until a year ago with our family, right? He's never really deeply dove into it until he's gone to church 5 weeks ago. So I'm thinking when I'm 18, if my parents say, you must do this with us, even though you don't completely understand this, and then we're going to say, now go off and do whatever you want, I don't think Sabbath is probably going to be in there. Good parenting, bad parenting, I'll let you know in a couple years, okay? But for right now, we don't make our 17-year-old, who's almost 18, who's fixing to go to college, do this. Invited, we ask him to do it, he can participate, sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, that's him, okay? So this is what a typical one for us looks like. We really try to have a plan for what we're going to do. This is great for the rules too. I kind of skipped over this. Having a plan for what you want to accomplish on this day is great. Don't vote day of, right? If you're married, you already know where this goes. If you don't know what you want to eat, right? Like, you know how that conversation goes with just the two of you. If you've got a family, that's a horrible idea. Like, already we're whining and wanting. Like, it's a bad idea. Have a game plan for what you do. So, like, this is like a typical, our last one kind of looked pretty much like this, where we kind of knew what we were trying to do, right? As far as the activities that we were doing. And when they become like self-indulgent in things where we're like, I don't know that God's delighting in us for how this is going, we go to the next thing. That's it. Don't let it become self-indulgent. This also helps if you're like, I think that I can find the Father in fantasy football for 6 hours on Sunday. Like, I think I could do that. If that's you, you have to kind of ask yourself, like, is God, I'm delighting in God through this. Is he delighting back at you for what you're doing, right? So a good kind of like way to keep you on track there. If it becomes like self-indulgent, we get away from it. So here's the one, tacos. We love tacos. We go get breakfast tacos to start our Sabbath every time we do Sabbath. It's great. We go to little Las Palapas. We love Las Palapas. Get tacos there. They know us there. They call us familia when we walk in. Like we are one of them on Saturdays. They know us. We go there on Saturdays. That's when our Sabbath is because Sundays are brutal for my family. We do Saturdays. We eat there for about an hour. We hang out. Again, we're just trying to get in that headspace, right? We're just trying to find community with God. We're trying. Jen and I are just trying to not want, to not worry, to not work, to not be whining about things. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get in that space. Sometimes at breakfast, it's like, oh my gosh, I can like... This is the kingdom, like this is the moment. And sometimes it's not, but it helps us get to that spot during the day, if that makes sense. Then we went for a walk. We like to go on walks. Walks are a great way with your family to do this. Again, this is super practical. This sounds super easy, but I'm telling you, having this mapped out and planned is very, very helpful so you don't have to have this conversation. Being in nature is amazing. God is amazing. In nature, I believe, is when I see God the most outside of my family. Because it's just in awe. Do you ever just like stop and like look at the sky and look at trees and like see the little critters and animals that are around? There was a possum in our backyard earlier. Like, that's what in the world? That's amazing, right? Like, God's like crazy. He's all over the place. We want to find him. We want to look for those gifts. Nature is an incredible way to do this. Even if you never go outside with your family, go outside with your family. What a cool thing. Even if that's the only day this happens. I promise if you have kids, you know this already, they like this. And we don't have step counters on this. We don't have phones on this. We're not listening to music on this. We're just walking and talking. And whatever we talk about, we talk about. And if it's silent, it's silent. And that's it. And if we notice something, we say something. And if we don't, we keep walking and we joke around and we have fun and we go on a walk. That's what we love to do. We then kind of break off individually and kind of have these like, let's like decompress time where we let the girls color or we read. We'll go read. Just trying to be thankful in that moment, just trying to relax in that moment. We don't have TVs, we don't have distraction. For me, reading, I'm a big reader. I was an English major. I love to read. I love to read fiction, so this is kind of like a great time for me to get some fiction in there and just relax, just detach from the world, not worry about anything else, and just read. Our girls kind of just chill, right? Like we're always at like this moment. If we get the shoulders here, like down here during the day, that's what we're shooting for during this time. Then if we can do this, if we can have breakfast, if we can go for a walk, if we can read in color, we get to have the Sabbath nap, which again, we spoke on this briefly last week. If you can take a Sabbath nap where you're truly not stressed going into that nap, it is the greatest sleep of all time. There is nothing better than a Sabbath nap. So we take a Sabbath nap and it's 45 minutes. If you don't want a nap, that's fine. Don't make noise because I'm taking a nap, right? Like it's 45 minutes of just quiet time in our house. That's what we do for that. Then we get up. We usually do a board game non-competitively. If you can't handle this, don't do board games. I know how some of you guys do games. We're able to, for the most part, keep it somewhat fun and not just, you know, it's in like the blood of both of our sides of highly competitive, find ways to cheat, you know, all of those things. So if it becomes that, maybe board game's not for you, but for our family, it's really fun. We let the girls pick out what we're doing beforehand. So we know what we're playing that day. Been a lot of Candyland in our house. So that one's hard to get too competitive with, but you can. So that's it. We snack it up during that time. We kind of start wrapping things up for us by having some scripture reading. That sounds very holy. All it is we pick out a psalm and I'll read it. Psalm 23 is what we've been doing a lot of. We'll either all read it or one of the girls will read it or we'll all read it. And we read it and we say, anything stick out to you in that? Yes or no, we can talk about that then. If not, that's fine, we move on. We're just reading scripture together as a family. It's a beautiful practice, it's a beautiful thing. It reminds us of our Creator and all that he's done for us. Then we go to what we call our prayer journal, where we have my 11-year-old writes down a few things we do. One is we say where we saw God that day. Like during Sabbath, where do we see God? Where do we notice him, right? We're trying to find the Father. Where do we see him? Let's put it down on paper. We've got a little journal of every week that we've done it of where we saw God. And it's different for everyone every week. And it's super cool. Then we say something that we're thankful for. We kind of force thankfulness in our house, darn it. You know what I mean? Like it's, what are we thankful for? Like what this day has been revealed to us that maybe we're thankful for that we weren't aware we're thankful for. And then any prayer requests we have. And then we write down the prayer requests. And then we just kind of take turns. Whoever wants to pray gets to pray. There's no pressure on this prayer. There's no bad prayers. God just wants to hear the prayers. If it's one, if it's 10 words, it's 10 words. If it's 10 minutes, it's 10 minutes. We do not care. We do not judge prayer in our house as good or bad. Just to offer it to God is all we're trying to do during this time. And that's what our Sabbath looks like. So that's me being transparent with you of where we're at right now. And again, we're working towards that to be longer. I want that to be a full 24 hours. Will it happen with my kids? I have no idea. But what we're trying to do is accomplish what God asked us to do in Exodus when he said to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy, right? And anything up here, if I told you go get tacos, is that holy? It's probably like, well, this isn't, by itself, this is not holy, right? These things are not holy in themselves. But what we're trying to accomplish in the heart behind what we're trying to do, if we're trying to find the Father and experience the kingdom and look more like Jesus through the tasks that we're doing, that's holy. If God's in the center of something, that's holy. So you just find the areas where you're able to say, yes, we're truly trying to keep God in the center of this. We're trying to find the Father, experience the kingdom, and look more like Jesus. And let that be holy. Don't get too concerned and consumed with it has to be like this super ultra holy day. God's in the middle of everything. If God's in the middle of something and you recognize him there, that's holy. Don't freak out about holy, right? This day can be holy by doing what I just said up there. Getting tacos, playing games, taking a nap, walking with your family. That can be holy. God makes things holy. You don't make things holy, right? Okay. So, a couple things to consider for you. When it comes to your kids, should my kid be grasping entirely what we're trying to do? I would say no, absolutely not. That is crazy. You can barely grasp what you're trying to do right now with Sabbath. Why would you think your six-year-old can understand what you're doing, right? That's crazy. They're not going to understand completely what you're doing. You can explain it to them, but I would challenge you to just focus on this. The experience is much more important than the explanation of what you're doing. Your goal isn't for your kids to fully grasp why you take Sabbath. Have the conversations, of course, but if they don't get it, that's fine. Let them experience it. Choose as a parent to make this a priority to look like Jesus on this day so that your kids can say, I don't know what this day is about, but I know mom and dad don't fight, right? I don't know what this day is about, but I know no one's worrying about my grades. I don't know what this day is about, but I get to just hang out with my family. I promise you, what they're going to see is Jesus, not this master plan that you have, but Jesus coming through you in this Sabbath. So do not freak out if your kids do not get Sabbath. Almost every kid that belongs to someone in this room lives such a privileged life, including mine, that basically every day of their life and every moment of their life, their needs and wants are being tended to. So to say, we're going to have this day where we don't want is not that appealing to a kid when his needs and wants are constantly being met. So do not freak out if your kid does not love Sabbath right off the bat. Just show them Jesus. Let that experience be the thing that they look for. For us, it did not happen right away, but my girls ask, are we doing Sabbath? We like Sabbath. Trust me on this. Don't freak out if your kids are not like completely on board with what is going on, right? Okay. Next thing is this. I'm going fast here. I got 10 more minutes. What if my Sabbath goes bad? This is based off feedback that I've gotten from all of you guys. Of like, this went horrible. Did I fail? Right? Did I lose my salvation? Like, what just happened here? Like, it went horrible. We tried and it went horrible. And I want to give you an illustration. Last week, I gave you such a beautiful and pure illustration of how we were able to capture the essence of what experiencing the kingdom looked like. And it literally, the next day, we went back to that moment and put my daughter to sleep, who was full of anxiety. And she just remembered the Sabbath that we had and the experience the kingdom she experienced on that day. The next week of our amazing Sabbath, we started Sabbath. I woke up, God, Sabbath day. We're doing it. I'm so pumped. Last week was so amazing. I'm so ready to look for you, God. This is going to be so cool. I love my family so much. I got up. I got dressed. I woke up everyone. Let's say it was 7:30 a.m. 7:39, I get the keys to my car and leave our house. I'm so mad at my family. My Sabbath lasted 9 minutes that day. Okay? 9 minutes that day was my Sabbath. That's it. So people are asking, it didn't go good. I heard about someone throwing some s'more sticks over the fence. You know what I mean? Like, it happens. Like, life happens. It happens. It doesn't always go great. There's no such thing as perfect. God is perfect, right? And through his son, we're made perfect to him, right? So you can't mess this up if you're acting like, I want to be perfect for God. You can't. He already sees you as perfect. You can't do anything else. It's not necessary. Your heart is what's important here. Okay, I'm gonna give you an illustration. A couple years ago, my daughter, Elle, who's just getting so many illustrations, she hasn't seen these last two. She's gonna get so mad how much I've used her in illustrations. 2 years ago, Ellie wrote me, made me a Father's Day picture. It's lyrics to a song that we liked at the time, right? And she's her idea, Father's Day. She wakes me up. She gives me this picture. I've got a picture of it behind me. I want to show you. It's important. Okay, this is it. This says, if you can't read it, it's lyrics to a song. I won't tell you the song because you might judge us, I think. Some things just make sense, and one of those is you and I. Love you. Happy Father's Day, okay? So the point of this, let's leave that picture back up there. I want to look at this picture, okay? The point of this, there's two things that could have happened on Father's Day this day, right? For me to get a gift for my kid. One is Jen could have told Elle, I need you to write down the lyrics to that song that Dad and you like so much, and I'm gonna tell you exactly how to spell every word and get all of the grammar correct, and it's gonna look perfect for your dad. And she's gonna do it and say, nope, start again. Nope, start again. Okay, now give that to Dad. She can give me that gift, or she can give me this gift, which just on her own, she created. I majored in English. I'm not good at very many things. Checking grammar, spelling, punctuation is one of them. Do you think I got this and said, that's nice, Ellie, but I see like 15 things on here that are incorrect? I would never do that. I don't care what that looks like. I care that her heart was to give me a gift. And she thought this would be a great gift for me, and it was. You will pry this out of my hands when I am dead. That is when I will give you this or give this up. I will keep this forever, forever. And it's not because grammatically it was perfect. It's not because she made no mistakes in her spelling, right? It's not because she used the number one and didn't spell the number one. It's none of those things. I don't care about any of that stuff. God doesn't care about how perfect your Sabbath looks. God cares about your heart. That's all he cares about. So if you're saying, my heart is in this Sabbath, I want this to be a Sabbath where I rest and I delight and I worship God and I just stop and it just goes bad, don't freak out. God is after your heart. In 1 Samuel, you know the story of David, right? We're looking for a king. God's gonna tell Samuel who the next king is gonna be. And Samuel says, it must be this guy. He looks like a king. He looks like a king. He looks like a king. God's like, no, 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 no. It's that guy. It's the little runt guy right there. And Samuel says, that guy? That guy is not a king. And what does he say, right? 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God looks at your heart when it comes to Sabbath. So if that isn't a good place, don't freak out if your Sabbath lasts 9 minutes, right? It's possible, it's okay for that to happen. So there's some big practical things for you on Sabbath. The last thing I want to leave you with is the most important thing. And I tricked you, making you think that it was just about practicality, but it's not. It's about this. When it comes to Sabbath and all the stuff that we've talked about, the most important thing for you to remember is this. Sabbath is a gift. It is a gift from God to you. If you're taking notes, write that down. Stamp that on your arm when you think about things. This is a gift from God. We see in Mark when Jesus is really getting questioned by the Pharisees of doing things the right way or the wrong way and how he's keeping his Sabbath. And Jesus says this, it says in 27, then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath, right? You weren't made to fulfill the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to be given to you as a gift so that you can draw nearer to God. That's what the Sabbath is. It is a gift. Treat it like a gift. And with this gift, you can open it or not. That's your call. God's not going to say, sorry, bud, you don't get in because you didn't do this. I don't think that's what's going to happen. This is a gift. You're stressed. You're anxious filled. You have so much stuff going on in your life right now. You need a break. You do not give yourself a break ever, ever. And you convince yourself it's fine. And meanwhile, we've got God saying, like, just rest, right? We've got Jesus saying, just come to me and I'll give you rest. That's what Sabbath is. It's a gift. And remember, God made this world perfect. And God's space and man's space were together. And then man blew it. We blew it. And it separated us from God. We worked really hard to figure out ways, and he tried, and his people failed, and he tried, and his people failed. Then he sent his son down here for you to bridge that gap so that when the end is here, you're with God when those spaces go back together and God's space and man's space is one. And through Jesus and the blood that was shed on that cross, you were saved. And you can wait to die for that moment to happen, or you can start living right now for that moment to happen in appreciation, and you can find that communion and that rest and that delight and that worship in God if you simply stop and remember that Sabbath is a gift. I can't make you practice Sabbath. I can't make you do anything. But I can tell you from experience of a very busy person, it has been transformational in my spiritual life, in our lives, our family's lives, and probably most importantly for your family, in my kids' lives. I would have loved for this to be built into my life to where it was kind of like an expectation that I had of like, well, obviously a few hours a week, I'm gonna block out just to relax, right? Wouldn't you have loved that? Wouldn't you have loved if it felt weird to not do that? That's what we're after. Again, not so that we can check a box off or make God happy, but simply so that we can be with God, that we can experience his kingdom. When we look for him, we experience him, and we start to look more like him, especially for our kids. So I can't make you practice Sabbath, but I think you should give it a shot. And hopefully these last 6 weeks have compelled you enough to try it. I think it'll be worth it. I think you'll be shocked at what God can do by simply getting out of your own head and just giving yourself up to God and experiencing him with your family. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for what you've given us, Lord. I thank you so much for Sabbath. I thank you so much for the opportunity to practice Sabbath. I thank you so much for your son. I thank you so much for the gift of Sabbath. And God, today, I just pray specifically, I don't care if it's for one person in this room who is convicted to try this because they know they are living their life at a pace that is not sustainable. For a parent here that is living their life at a pace that they would never want their child to live at. And God, let Sabbath be a way to break free from that bondage of hurry and just to give to you some time during the week where they're present, where they're paying attention to you and they're looking for you and they're experiencing you, and that they see you in the gifts that you've given us. God, thank you so much for the gifts that you've given us. Let us be more aware of where they are. Lord, again, I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you for this series on Sabbath. I hope that it's just been transformational for some folks in this room and give them the courage to do it again, not to check off a box or just to make you happy, but so that we can find another way to be with you. And we thank you for that day when one day we'll be together and it'll all feel like Sabbath all the time. But until then, God, let us have the courage and the strength to practice Sabbath. In your name we pray. Amen.